Brother Don, we have a special speaker this morning, Pastor Don Yonker. I would ask you to receive the word of God this morning. We ask that there be no talking, as much as possible, no moving around. Let's just receive what the Lord has for us. Pastor Don.
Thank you, Brother Foss. Good morning. It's a delight to be here today, a real honor to be able to share the Word of God with you. My prayer is that it'll be a life-changing message for you and also a life-changing message for the church. I was able to tune into the online message that Pastor Foss preached last week about the least of these. That's a life-changing message, amen? And then the testimony this morning, Robert Fenton, that was powerful. His life was changed. Last week, I was in Calvary International Bible College Chapel, and Julie Manesco shared a word on how that God wants to change your name. That was a life-changing message. It really spoke to my heart. The last chapter she was on was Isaiah 62. And it really spoke to my heart as I read it, because right in that passage it talked about a name change that went on. And Israel, they were called desolate. They were called forsaken. And God changed their name. He changed their name to God's delight. He changed their name to married. He changed their name to sought after. And I believe that's what God wants to do with this church and is doing. He is changing your name to sought after. You are sought after by people that need help, that are hurting, people that need hope. And they are coming and seeking after you because they know that they can find that hope through Jesus Christ that you're teaching, that you're living, being an example for here today. This morning I want to speak about Jesus followers, what it means to be a Jesus follower. So if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Here Jesus said unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." That's Matthew 16, 24. There's a lot of good reasons for you to become a Jesus follower today. According to the Word of God, we find out that no man can come to the Father except through Jesus. Jesus was there when the world began. He is the Son of God. Jesus died in your place to take away your sins. Jesus is the only man historically proven to have risen from the dead. He is the resurrection. And the Bible tells us that right now He's preparing a place for you in heaven. Amen? He is the resurrection, and He's preparing a home for you. The Bible tells us further, there's one mediator between God and man, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is right there at the right hand of the Father, praying for you and I today. I am a Jesus follower. I would like you to be a Jesus follower as well today. When we look at the Scripture this morning, we find that there's some things that need to take place in order for you to follow Jesus. The first thing is that you need to come to Jesus. That's pretty obvious. Before you become a Jesus follower, you need to come to Jesus. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, around 46 to 48, we see that all of the Baptists were coming out to get baptized by John. John said, "Repent. Repent and prepare the way of the Lord." And then he baptized them. And then John saw Jesus one day coming, and he announced, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the whole world." The Bible records in John that the next day, Jesus was there again, and John was standing there with two of his disciples. And again he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Suddenly we see a crowd shift begin to take place. These two Baptists that were with John, the Bible gives us their names in just a bit, they started following Jesus. Jesus said to Andrew and Simon, "Follow me." Philip gets Nathanael, and he says, "Come and see." Before long, there's this major crowd shift. There's people that were following John and hearing his mention of being repent and be baptized, but he announces that Jesus is the one that they need to follow, and so people began to follow Jesus now. But did you know that you can follow a crowd, but following a crowd will never save you? Whether you're going to the River Jordan, or you're going to a rock concert, or you're going to a parade somewhere, following a crowd doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get saved, irregardless of who that crowd is. The Bible tells us that there's a bigger crowd headed toward the path of destruction than there is one that is headed toward eternal life. There's always a crowd that follows a crowd wherever they're going. Jesus called 12 disciples out of the crowd of followers, and he asked them to come and follow him. There's a lot of people that come to church. There's a lot, let's just be honest today, why people come to church. Some come because they're bored. Some may come because they're hungry. Some may need healing or some kind of help. Some are here because they would like to have some better business contacts for their business. Some are here because there's some girls and boys here they might be interested in, or men or women. I've known people, I've pastored for a lot of years, that they would come, but then they would leave, but they would drop off their kids. They know there's some child care at the church. There's friends at the church. That's a good reason to come, isn't it? A lot of teens would come. Basketball, if there's a gym in a church. Some for the fun, some for the food, some for the music, some for financial aid. And churches can do a good job of some really good marketing to get the crowd to come and put on a good program to make sure that they can get that crowd. But I want to tell you today that you can follow the crowd to the Baptist church, the Methodist church, the Catholic church, the Presbyterian, Assembly of God, Dutch Reformed, Lutheran, any number of different churches and church groups that you could go and be a part of today. But that does not automatically make you a Jesus follower. You can actually hear about God, talk to God, sit with the God crowd, and still not be following God. I like what Pastor Joe said last week. It's not enough to run buses and feed people and fill the church. We want to see lives changed. Amen? And I just want to tell you right here up front, if you come to Jesus and ask him into your life, he will save you and he will change you as you follow him. Matthew 28, once again, it says, "Go and make disciples of all nations," in chapter 28. "Teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you." In other words, teach people to be Christ followers, not crowd followers. If you come to Jesus, and you can do that today, you come to Jesus when the call is given to follow him today, he will save you. Matter of fact, he'll save your whole family if you'll come to Jesus today. That's the best decision you could ever make. The next thing in the scripture tells us, in order to follow Jesus, to be a Jesus follower, you need to deny yourself. I struggled with this, and I struggled with the next thought that I'll be sharing also about taking up your cross. I read all that I could. I studied all the commentaries that I could, and I said, "Lord, I still don't get this." I was so glad I asked him what this meant. And he just began to open my mind. Sometimes I'm a little slow figuring it out. And I think this will be clear and helpful for you today. Let's say what it is not. First of all, by denying yourself, it is not a list of things that you can or cannot do. That's what turns a lot of people off. They think, if I follow Jesus, then there's so many things I can't do. Right now we're in a season of Lent, and you'll be hearing about Ash Wednesday on the news and some of these other church emphases and religious groups that will encourage people to give up something, sacrifice something on this day. But you know, Self-denial, it is not, according to the Greek, it is not an outward act. It is an inward turning of our being. The Greek term for deny himself, the phrase means deny himself utterly. It's not the denial of anything to yourself, but it's the utter denial of self. It's turning oneself away from oneself. Let me put it this way. What it's showing to us is that there is a possibility of two centers. There's either the possibility of self, or there's the possibility of Christ in the center of your life. You accept one, and you deny the other. You cannot have both happening and be a follower of Jesus Christ. So to deny yourself means you're going to not allow self to be the center, to be the control center of your life. You're going to deny self, and you're going to turn to Christ and make him the center of your life. You're going to let Christ rule as you deny yourself. To be a disciple, just like this word comes from disciple, means to come under the Lord's discipline. God decides what's best for you. He decides what's right for you. He decides that at times we need to be corrected because maybe we're going down the wrong path. Maybe we're not living according to his word. And so we come under the Lord's discipline. Why does the Lord discipline us? The Bible tells us because he loves us. Amen? And so we accept the Lord's discipline in our life. What is the Lord's discipline? I tried to break that down with a few other letters here for us today, or a few words that start with the letter D. When you let Christ be the center, it means you're going to let him give the direction. We let God direct our steps, whether you're going to go to the right or the left, whether you're going to stop or you're going to keep going forward. You let him lead you. So many times, I believe that instead of following Christ, we're asking Christ to follow us wherever we go. That's not being a Christ follower. Not saying, hey, I'm going here, Lord. Would you please come with me? No, it's the Lord say, here's where I want you to go, and you follow him. Amen? Direction. Another word is desire. Allow Jesus to instill in your heart his want or his to-do list or what wants to be said list. We don't say what we please and what we do, what we want to do. We let Jesus Christ put within us his desire, his words. The Bible says the mouth speaks out of the abundance of the heart. We need Jesus to be giving us the thoughts and the desires. So what we speak is what Jesus would speak on every occasion. Amen? Defense is another word. He'll reward you and defend. When you are a Jesus follower, when you're following Christ's example, you don't have the privilege to have revenge when somebody mistreats you. You don't get to pay them back. Amen? The Lord will defend you. You have to put your anger away. You have to deny yourself that anger, or at least the desire to revenge because of the anger that's within you. Destiny. What's God's plan and purpose for your life? Sometimes we make big plans for us. I've known people that were so wrapped up in what they decided they wanted to be, nothing mattered what was going on around them right now. They just wanted to get to that goal in the future in their life. And I would look and I would say, man, they're missing so much life right now on the way to their goal. But it's not that way. When you turn your life to Jesus Christ, not only does tomorrow count, but he'll make it so that today counts on the way. Amen? If you will let him take care and show you his purpose, his destiny in your life. And then the last word I have here is delight. What brings God's pleasure? Not seeking your pleasure, but what brings God pleasure? That is the thing that we want to be the center of our lives. Denying yourself is laying down your self-rights. I didn't read this anywhere. I just looked at Jesus, what he said to the 12 disciples. There's two places we find this idea of denying yourself or taking up your Christ, or taking up your cross in the Gospel of Matthew. You find it in Matthew chapter 10, And then you find it later in Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 10, the context is that of servanthood. And it says, if your master gets persecuted, then you probably can expect some persecution also if you're his servant. That makes sense, doesn't it? He's talking to the 12 disciples. If this is what they will do to me, if this is what they'll treat me, then you can expect the same. When we get to chapter 16, the Lord just ups the ante a little more, and he starts talking about martyrdom. In chapter 16, we see that the context is Jesus is predicting that he's going to suffer and die. And it's in that context that he says, you need to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow after me. So when it comes to denying ourselves, I find in Matthew chapter 10, reading the context there, that it has to do with your self-rights. The 12 disciples had to lay down their rights. Now, I would think that 12 close associates to the Messiah, the Son of God, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords would have some strong rights on earth, wouldn't you? By it, we know that the earth is the Lord's and all of the fullness thereof. It's the Lord's. That's why there isn't anything that you can really give up and call it sacrifice today. You can give up money. It was his before you ever called it your own. Amen? You can lay down your life. It's his before it was ever your life. The Bible says you were bought with a price. You know who paid that price? Jesus Christ. You are his. Amen? But as we look here in this context of Scripture, we see these disciples, though they had the rights to so much, they had to lay it down if they were going to follow Jesus. They had to deny themselves. This is what Jesus said to them. On their journey, don't take money, provision, or two coats. Don't worry about food, even though you're worthy of your meat. Don't take it along. He was sending them to places that if they were ministering the gospel of truth, that place ought to receive that word gladly. They were talking about and passing on the gift of eternal life. But they find that they would go to some cities and not everybody would receive them. So Jesus said, if they don't receive you or your words, just shake off the dust. Just shake it off. Go on. Keep moving. Go on to another place. You know, we could learn some lessons from that today, couldn't we? We get dust on us, you know, instead of shaking off the dust, we kind of kick up the dust for a while. Amen? We let that dust stay on us just a little too long and it becomes some bitterness. Somebody treats us wrong. What I mean by kick up the dust, we like to give a little payback. We like to give them what for. Matter of fact, if that place is going to treat me badly, I just want to call a little fire down from heaven on that place. That's a right. That could happen. But Jesus said, no, just move on. Just move on. Lay down that right. Amen? Hallelujah. You'll be tried in councils and scourged in synagogues, brought before governors and kings. Who'd have thought we'd be seeing on the news, you know, these Egyptian Coptic Christians getting their heads cut off because of their belief in Jesus Christ. What does the Scripture say when this happens? He says, don't try to defend with your own words. Don't try to make up a lot of prepared speeches to try to talk your way out of it. Rely on the Holy Spirit when this happens. Your own brothers will rise up against your children and put parents to death for their faith. But when one city persecutes you, what do? You flee to another. Tell somebody else. Somebody else will receive the good news of the gospel. You're a Jesus follower. And there are some other people that need to follow Jesus and have the gift of eternal life. Go on. Go on and share it with another place. The Bible says that we shouldn't fear to the disciples. Don't fear your persecutors. Go ahead. Preach the word. Shout it. Shout it from the housetops. Confess me before men. And if you will do that, then I will confess you to the Father. But if you're ashamed of me, then I'll be ashamed of you. These are powerful words that are in these scriptures. But this is what denying yourself would mean, I believe. It kind of gives us the definition of what Jesus was talking about. We're to love Jesus more than our mother, our son, our daughter, or you're not worthy of him. He that finds his life, the scripture says, loses it. And he that loses his life finds it. Sometimes God takes us along. Maybe we've come to Jesus. And as I confess to you, I wasn't quite sure what deny meant. I needed the Lord's help. And aren't you glad for the Lord's help? When you're a Jesus follower, you're not just following your own ideas, you're following Jesus. He gives you his Holy Spirit. He guides you into truth. He'll lead you. There's some things you may not understand right away. There's some things that you may not catch right away or even be in a place to pick up on it fully until some other point in your life when you're confronted with it. I remember one time in prayer, I came to the Lord and I says, Lord, I've given you all of my heart. I love you with all of my heart, Lord. And he decided to test me on that. I meant it fully. I thought I loved him with everything, more than anything in life. But he brought to my attention, he says, okay, then how about you give me your children? Now, I've grown up in church. I've read the Bible story, so I had a little idea what that could mean. And let me tell you, that was no happy prayer time at first. I was broken. My heart was broken because I knew that he had the right to take every one of my children from me. And I love my children. And I remember it was a long prayer time. But before it was over, I gave every one of my children to him. Even if it meant he would take them from me, they were his. I did not want to fall short of giving my whole heart to the Lord. And I just want to tell you today, whatever you give up to the Lord, whatever you deny yourself, it is not a sacrifice. It is not a sacrifice. My children were already his. And to my delight, surprise, humility, I guess, the Lord just began to show me some things. Things I haven't shared with my kids. I just watch and I look and I see what the Lord is doing. He showed me what he was going to do with each of my kids. I was so glad he asked me to give him my children that day. And it's been worth it. And I want to tell you, it'll be worth it to you. Mom and Dad, the Bible says, Dad, you're a priest of your home. You've got a choice to make for your whole family. Now, I know there comes a time where your children are going to make their own choices, but they are going to follow your example. And you can make a decision to follow Jesus, and it affects the decisions of your children. Not only do individuals come to the Lord, but it's so beautiful to see sometimes a whole family come up and decide, today, as for me and my house, we're coming. Not forced, they're coming together and giving their hearts to the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. I didn't know where the Lord was taking me after that. Actually, he brought me to Houston. And I dare say today that if I hadn't given my children to the Lord, I would have no idea where they would be at in their faith today. Because they face some hardships and some things that no children should ever have to face in the ministry. But they love the Lord with all their hearts. They're serving him today. I just make sure that when I see something coming, that I don't block it if it looks like this is what the Lord wants to do. I'll nurture it. I don't have to tell them what God told me. I just get to watch and see God do. They're his kids, amen? And when you come to pray, pray not only for yourself, but you come and you offer your children to the Lord. Lord, they're yours. You've given me their custody. You've given me the privilege and the responsibility to raise them up in the way they should go. But Lord, I give them to you. The last thing that we need to do before we can follow Jesus in our scripture is to take up our cross. Notice it doesn't say, take up his cross. You can't take up Jesus' cross. He did that once and for all. He took upon him the sins of the whole world, your sins, mine, and every man that ever lived, or every woman that ever lived. He took our sins upon him. That's his cross. The Bible says, take up your cross and follow me. What's your cross? I think, again, here we make the mistake, and we think it's some extra load that we carry or some baggage that just happens to be in our life. Have you ever heard somebody say that? They say, well, it's just my cross to bear. That's not what's meant by the scripture here. It's not trying to lay some kind of hardship upon you. Matter of fact, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. Amen? So it's not just what you carry around in the way of a load. But again, the best way I can describe it here, basically taking up your cross is giving up your rights. Giving up your rights. Things that because of your position in Jesus Christ as a child of God that are definitely your right, you give them up so that you can reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me give you the best example we have in the Word of God, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus gave up his rights. Amen? He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He gave it up to come to earth. Gave up all that powerful privilege and ruling. He had the right to judge. There was no right of Pilate to judge him, but he gave it up and let himself be judged by Pilate. He had the right to call 10,000 angels at any time. He could have stop that crucifixion process from taking place. But he gave it up. He had the right to strike his mockers. Anytime somebody made fun of him, he could have cursed them. They could have been, anything could have happened. Lightning could have struck them. A bear could have come out of the woods. He had every right. He's the Son of God. But he gave up his right to strike his mockers. He gave up his right to revenge his attackers. He gave up his right to slay his enemies. He gave his right to hang his false accusers. He gave up his right to verbally denounce and curse people that were doing that to him. He gave up his right to take a wife or to have a family here on earth. He gave up his right to demand quarters to lay his head. He gave up his right to require tribute or to require room and board. He could have seized houses and lands. It's all his anyhow. He could have set up a rule and made a decree, and the word of his decree would happen, but he gave that up when he came. He took up his cross. He could have demanded to be bowed down to and worship. He's worthy of it. It's his right. He could have built the world's largest mansion here on earth. But he gave it up. As I studied the prophecies, I've been looking into a lot of Jesus' suffering on the cross. And when you look at the prophecies in the Old Testament, these are predictions of what would happen when Jesus came. Jesus knew these prophecies. How many of you know that? Jesus knew what was said would happen to him. Matter of fact, if you look further on in the scripture, we find that Jesus knew before the world began what was going to happen on that day. But if all he had was the prophecies of Isaiah and Ezekiel and the Psalms and all of these different prophets that talked about the Messiah, in detail they described how he would be treated by his accusers, how there would be dogs there just waiting to tear him apart, how there would be the spear pierced in his side, how that he would be hit on the head. You know, we read about it in the Gospels, but it was already predicted before. He knew what was going to happen. And so whenever I think about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love he has for me, it's one thing for me to look at that, and I mean, it's enough to break me apart to just think about that Jesus would endure this at Calvary for me and for you. But I can't comprehend with my simple mind how that any man, and I don't know of any person that would ever do this, that would know they were going to go through that torture in advance and still make the decision to let it happen. He knew his beard would be pulled out before he ever got to the place where they did it. He knew it before he ever gave himself up in the garden. It was prophesied, but he went there anyhow. I love the words of the prophet that said these words. I believe it's in Psalms 22, if I'm not mistaken. It's called the Psalm of the Cross. It talked about how he'd be forsaken and so forth. And it says of God the Father, and it pleased the Lord to bruise him. That's a scripture I can't comprehend. It pleased God to bruise the Son. That just doesn't sound right unless you read on a little further and you realize because he knew what the results would be if he let his Son suffer and die in our place, if Jesus would give down his life, all of those, you and me, in generations to come that gave their hearts to the Lord, their sins would be forgiven. We would be able to have an eternal relationship with our Father in heaven. And so the Bible says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. For the joy set before him. This is Jesus, because the joy set before him. No, there's no joy in having a crown of thorns put on your head. There's no joy in having your nails driven through your hands and through your feet, or having lashes upon your back. There's no joy in pain. That's not what he's talking about. The joy set before him was the results of what would happen when he suffered and died at Calvary. And he looked ahead. You're his joy. Amen? You're his joy. He saw you. That just blows me away to know. Yes, I know he died for the whole world, but I also know that as he headed and made that choice to go ahead anyhow, knowing what's going to happen, he was looking ahead and he saw me and he saw you. And he loved us so much, it brought joy to him even in the midst of his suffering. He gave it up for us. And that's what we have an example of in the Scripture. And so now it comes to us. Jesus took up his cross long before he carried the wooden one down the Via Dolorosa. And discipleship, or following Jesus, involves a deliberate decision to follow Jesus by putting one's life on the line. The context of this verse, as I said, is Jesus predicting his death. Most of the disciples hearing him would end up being martyrs for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I don't believe that's possible for somebody to be a martyr. I can't say I know this by experience, but I don't believe it's possible for somebody to be a martyr or to give up their life for the Lord unless they have already taken up their cross in here. They have already had to make that decision in their heart. And so that's what I want to say to us today, that as Christ followers, it's not possible for you unless you've taken up your cross to follow him. We need to take up our cross. We need to die to our rights. Luke 9:23 says, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. And Luke adds the word, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. Paul said it this way, I die daily, every day. He wrote in Galatians, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live I live by the faith of Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So when's the best time to forgive? I believe it's before you're offended. Daily, before something happens to you. Die to the right to pay somebody back. Forgive them before somebody crosses you during the day. It'll probably happen if you're living for the Lord. If not today, maybe tomorrow or this week. Die daily. Best time to die is before you're martyred. Daily. Best time to die to your right is to strike back is before they strike you. Amen? Somebody's going to hit you before you don't wait till then to decide whether you're going to hit back or not. I guarantee you, it's a lot tougher then. I wrestled in high school, and there was one time that I don't know if the coach taught them this or they just knew how to do it, and this guy somehow he knew, without the ref knowing it, he knew how to throw me an elbow in the jaw. And this is, you know, high school wrestling. And every time we came to get together, usually you lock heads, but he always had an elbow hitting me. And I'd just about see stars. After about the third time, it was just reflex. I got hit in the jaw, and my fist, I mean, it was coming out. He was, and I've not gotten in a fist fight with anybody, but he was about to get a fistful in his mouth. But somehow on the way, by the grace of God, it opened up, and I was able just to lock him. And I don't know if I got any more hits that day. And that was luck. or the grace of God, I guess, because I can't tell you at that match whether I was a spiritually prepared person or not. That's too long ago to remember. But I guarantee you, if you are not prepared, if you haven't taken up your cross daily and laid down your rights, it's going to be too easy to take a fist and give a fist back, to take a punch, whether it be verbal or physical, and strike right back, to have somebody do something despiteful to you or try to persecute you, and you want to have a payday right away. But if you're going to be a follower of Jesus, then you're going to have to take up your cross. And you're going to have to learn every morning before you meet up with the occasion what it means to turn your cheek, what it means to lay down your life, what it means to forgive somebody. If you wait until it happens, it's going to be a whole lot harder to do what Jesus would do. So take up your cross and follow him. Finally, as we said before, Jesus said, the word said that the joy set before him, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Taking up a cross sounds like a heavy burden, but it sets you free. Rutherford said this, Christ's cross is the sweetest burden I ever bore. It is a burden like wings are to a bird, or like sails are to a ship, to carry me forward to my harbor. Whatever you sacrifice, it ends up turning into blessing, and it doesn't hardly even seem like sacrifice when it's all done. And so I want to encourage you today, be a Jesus follower. Be a Jesus follower. To do that, don't just follow the crowd, what they're doing. Sometimes the crowd will get big. Jesus had crowds of 5,000. Sometimes it was just the 12 left, and they said, who are we to turn to? You have the words of life. Whatever you give up, whatever you sacrifice, it'll be worth it if you follow Jesus. I want you to stand with me here this morning, if you will. I believe Jesus is trying to bring to us today the life-changing power of his love for you. He's not trying to get you to follow a crowd or follow some religion. He wants you to follow him. To do that, you have to come to him. Ask him into your life. Come yourself, come as a family, but come to him, and he'll change you. Amen. And he'll along the way, he knows what to ask you. He knows when to ask you. I was at Bible college when the Lord tested me one time. David Wilkerson was the speaker that day. I don't know what all he said, but I still remember this one little thought. He said, the message was about putting Christ first. Isn't that what being a Jesus follower is? Denying yourself, putting him first. That night I went up on a hill that overlooked the campus. As it was getting dark, I was out there just in prayer. And one thing I've learned in following Jesus, you might as well just tell him the truth. I don't like to tell him because I am embarrassed to tell my father some things because I know how it ought to be. But I said, Lord, I've got to be honest with you. You're not first in my life. Here I was following him. I was following his call in the ministry, but he wasn't first in my life. There were some things that were more important that I was putting my energies into my time. I won't go into that today. But I said, Lord, I haven't put you first, but will you help me to do it? I want to put you first. And that's all he asks us to do is to be honest with him. When you take a step forward to ask Christ into your life, you don't know every step along the way or how you're going to do it and so forth, but you know that He does. And He'll show you. His Word will show you. The Spirit of God will show you. Life-changing testimonies like Robert Fenton's, it'll show you what God can do for you. Amen? So I'm going to ask you right now, Brother Joe Foss, some of the other brethren, if you'll come up front here. Let's receive people that want to follow Jesus. I'm a Jesus follower. It's time for you to make that decision today. Will you follow the Lord? Very quickly, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, raise your hand if you're ready today. You want to follow Jesus? Yes, 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 yes. If you've come with someone today, go ahead, keep it raised. If there's any others today, raise your hand today. You're not just going to be with a crowd. You're not here to get business or something else or to find a girlfriend. You're here to do some business with Jesus. Raise your hand today. I want to follow Jesus today. Hallelujah. If you're here with a family, if they'll come with you, go ahead and bring them today. This will be life-changing for your family. Amen. It's life-changing for you. I'm going to ask you to come right now. If you would just step out where you're at, those that have raised your hands. Every one of us here that's a follower of Jesus, we've done this also. I'm going to ask you to step forward here. We want to pray with you. We want the congregation to pray with you. So would you come? Come on. Let's just give a hand to these people while they're coming, will they? This is the best decision they can make in their life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just reach a hand toward these while they're coming. Amen. Come on. Come on. We're so glad you're coming for Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I need some of our other women of faith to come. Would you come, Julie? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's lift a hand toward the Lord and to these people. Let's begin to pray for Him. If there's some other Christian believers here today, you're a follower of Jesus, you can come and just get behind these and put your hand on them and pray softly while they're being led in a sinner's prayer today. Hallelujah. We're so thankful, Lord. You paid the price. You laid down your life, Lord Jesus. You showed us the way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for showing us the way. No man, the Bible says, no man comes to the Father unless the Holy Spirit draws him. These people, they've been drawn because God is drawing them with His love by His Spirit. If you felt a tug on your heart,